time to talk about Eclipse Series 7, Postwar Kurosawa. This is one of the most significant Eclipse Series sets. This was released in 2007. It was the seventh of eight Eclipse Series sets that they produced that year. And this one fills a pretty important gap in the films of the great Japanese master director and humanitarian all-around artist, Akira Kurosawa. You can see I've got the box empty right now. It's because all of the discs are kind of stacked in a sequence that'll make more sense as I kind of walk you through what Kurosawa was up to during those pivotal post-war years after the Japanese army surrendered following the dropping of the atomic bomb, and just all the horrors and misery that the Pacific War, as the Japanese refer to it, World War II, as it's commonly referenced by the West, those events had happened. Japan was left reeling under American occupation for, you know, about 7-8 years or so following the surrender. And Akira Kurosawa, who had already gotten started in the Japanese film industry during the war, and I'll talk about those films later in this little series I'm doing here, but these are the films that he did around some of his most acclaimed masterpieces of the 1950s. So let's get into it. You can see the titles right here. No Regrets for Our Youth, One Wonderful Sunday, Scandal, The Idiot, I Live in Fear. So what's going on with those films? Those were probably not Kurosawa titles that a lot of you are familiar with. So let's just kind of walk you through the whole sequence here. No Regrets for Our Youth. This is the earliest film in the set. This is from 1946, so roughly a year or so, maybe even a matter of months after the war ended, Kurosawa was finally able to make films outside of the oversight and censorship that he had worked under during the World War II years. This is a unique title because it stars Setsuko Hara. She, of course, is the famous kind of muse of Ozu's greatest films from the 1950s into the early 60s. Here, Kurosawa works for the first and only time with a sole female protagonist. He is, of course, known as a guy who makes movies for guys. Not that women can't enjoy them, but they're very much men-centered films. Here he's got a female protagonist. She is the daughter of a conservative university professor who's grown up in some privilege. And the story of this film takes place from the mid-1930s right up into the war years. And it begins this process that a lot of Japanese films did in those post-war years of reckoning with just what had led them down this path to war and all the violence, all the misery and suffering that the decisions of the political leadership and the complicit public had brought to pass. So this really gets Kurosawa going. It's a pretty compelling film that I haven't watched in a long time, and I'm really thinking right now this is one I should probably prioritize. One Wonderful Sunday from 1947 is kind of like a date movie. These two characters are basically a young couple in love, and they're doing the best they can under less than ideal circumstances. Japan went through a very impoverished period. A lot of the people there were very poor, living under very difficult conditions. One of the key moments of this film is also one of the most awkward failed experiments that Kurosawa ever put down, with a very classic fourth wall breaking, where the characters turn to the audience and expect the people in the theater to cheer the hero on and help lift his spirits because he's going through kind of a down time. And, you know, Kurosawa's idea was that the theaters would be full of people. Yeah, go, Yuzo, go. You can do it. We believe in you. And it didn't really work. The audiences weren't really prepared for that. And it kind of landed with a thud. But it's kind of a fascinating experiment that, like I say, didn't turn out very well in terms of its intended effect, but it just shows Kurosawa's willingness to really kind of go for it. So I appreciate his ambition, if nothing else. It's a fine movie, very charming in its very humble way. And then we get into some of the regular standalone Criterion releases that kind of happened within this sequence. Kurosawa did Drunken Angel, about a physician and an alcoholic, and it's some of the early pairings of Toshiro Mifune and Takashi Shimura, who, of course, are pretty famous for their contributions to Seven Samurai, which I'll bring up in a second. But this one here is definitely a showcase for just how wretched and miserable Japan was in those immediate post-war years. There's like this kind of dismal little kind of puddle. It's bigger than a puddle. It's almost like a little swamp or pond that's full of like mosquitoes. There's malaria and typhus floating around, and people are just kind of sickly, living in wretched conditions. A Stray Dog from 1949, another Mifune Shimura pairing. In this case, Mifune is a cop who loses his gun from a pickpocket on a crowded bus. It's kind of like a film noirish type of thing. And Shimura is a more seasoned cop who kind of keeps this young hothead in line. An excellent film, and definitely one that I'd like to see upgraded in the near future. Back to the first, or the post-war set, Scandal. This is about the newspaper publishing industry and kind of milking tragedies and kind of sensationalism and sleaze for commercial purposes. It's kind of a critique of the news media industry. Again, Toshirô Mifune is a pretty pivotal character in here. Takashi Shimura, just kind of another look at more contemporary Japanese society. Definitely minor Kurosawa, but still always compelling. Right after that, he hit it big with Rashomon. Okay, lots to be said about this movie, but I want to keep things moving along. Just to kind of let you know how productive Kurosawa was, this was from 1950. Scandal was also from 1950, I believe. So two films in a year, including one of his great defining masterpieces. He started feeling a little bit of that artistic ambition, and he filmed an adaptation of Dostoevsky's The Idiot, which was originally like, I don't know, 3 hours long, maybe even longer. It got butchered down by the studio, and so what we have is a 166 minutes. So that's definitely almost like, you know, 2.5 hours plus. So it's been cut down quite a bit, but it's one of those, you know, big, thick Russian novels that he wanted to adapt. And it is pretty impressive for what it is. Setsugahara also returns for this one. He's one of numerous characters, including Toshirô Mifune and Takashi Shimura. It's kind of Kurosawa's first stab at a big-time epic that doesn't exactly hold together. A lot of it, again, because the studios just thought he had bit off more than he could chew. They wanted to keep it a little bit more commercially palatable, so they kind of whittled it down. So you don't really exactly see what Kurosawa had in mind for that film, and unfortunately all that edited footage is lost, so what we have is what we've got. And that's part of, again, the post-war Kurosawa set. But then, again, some real big heavy hitters here. Ikiru came out 1952. 2 years later, Seven Samurai hits 1954. Huge epic, of course, world-renowned masterpiece. Immediately following that with I Live in Fear. This guy, this straggly, world-weary, beaten-down old man, is the same Toshirô Mifune, who was, of course, so memorably charismatic, energetic, and kind of wild in Seven Samurai. If you didn't know or didn't read the credits, you might not realize that this is Toshirô Mifune transforming himself into this guy who's paralyzed with dread about the effects of another nuclear attack on Japan, and is looking to even relocate so he can get away from any of the radiation and the fallout. And it's really just a consuming paranoia that he lives under. That's the last film in this post-war Kurosawa set, but just to kind of walk you through the rest of the 50s, Throne of Blood, Kurosawa's adaptation of Macbeth, Lower Depths, was that Gorky? Who was the author there? I believe that was the author there. This is a pretty cool old DVD-only set. Kurosawa did a version, Jean Renoir did a version, both of these films by two of the world's greatest directors in this two-disc DVD clamshell package there with, you know, kind of covers. It's just it's kind of a nice artifact of the old Criterion. Here's the wrapping that went on in the under the shrink wrap originally. I probably shouldn't be getting so deep into these other movies, but they're just kind of fun to show off. But yeah, let me see, make sure I got my right references here. Yes, it is Maxim Gorky, so I can rest assured on that. And then, of course, finally closing out the 50s, Kurosawa in The Hidden Fortress, widely known as a reference point for George Lucas when he made Star Wars. So getting back into this set here, you can see that these films really do kind of serve as gap fillers from Kurosawa's more famous titles, and this is a set that I think was hugely important when it was first released, because you get to see, you know, the kind of the tucked away chapters of Kurosawa's legacy in films that might not warrant a standalone release or purchase if they were just released as their own titles. Would Criterion think about upgrading this particular set to Blu-ray? Maybe, but I think a lot of people would be pretty upset, because I think they'd much rather have a big, comprehensive 4K box set, even if it costs like $500 for all the Janus Films-owned Kurosawa titles. There are a few also. The Quiet Duel is probably the biggest early Kurosawa film that I don't think is available domestically. I think that was his first film with Toshirô Mifune. And then there's another one from even earlier that Kurosawa directed, but he didn't write the screenplay, like The Men Made the Future or something like that. I can't remember the title, so I don't know that film at all. But there were a couple other directorial efforts that Kurosawa put together that are not captured in this box, and I don't think Janus has the rights to them either. So these are on the Criterion Channel. Definitely worth checking out if you want to see them in streaming format. I believe the set's still in print, but we'll see if this is one that Criterion will want to convert over to Blu-ray. They haven't announced anything about that yet. And it's, you know, it's probably not going to be top of their list to do that, even after they get past the title they've already kind of hinted at in that August 6th press release. So I think I've gone on long enough about post-war Kurosawa, but an important Eclipse series set, one that I hope you're, you know, interested in learning more about.